all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Padipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without itself, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. thy compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, thy compassionate mindfulness that proves its path, thy compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this reputation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics. Nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestow of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day, oh, happy blessed place, oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are
rooted in suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So what shall we look at this morning? Susan,
I looked at something. One of the words that maybe I would use is practicing tolerance and interest with those who think differently than I about stuff.
Tolerance
and interest. Like taking that place, that place of curiosity almost. Internally, so externally a little bit, but I was right before I came down, my son is all excited about some shoes, some very expensive shoes, and there's what ego wants to do is talk about the poor, make it a teachable moment, but he's just interested in these really expensive shoes and how he can get them, and I was just watching when I'm not identified. There was a there was kind of, so I would watch ego come in, and then I would try to ego would say, well, but so I would say if identified maybe I don't know, anyway, here's how it went. I would say, you just spent and got these shoes, and then he'd say, yeah, but these other ones are this color. Uh-huh. And so then I just default to reflective listening. You know, we have so much practice of doing that, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's all I got to do, kind of defaulting to the breath. All I have to do is reflect. And then the energy would start to rise, like, this is stupid. How can someone think this way? Which is all what happens in politics or just anything ego disagrees with. And so just sort of fascinated by the connection that happened with interest. And so also what happened yesterday, it must be the universe, because my husband is a different political orientation than I am. And he's really into something right now. He's on the computer and he's creating ha-has and he's... But it's kind of fun to watch because he's so excited about it. And then he starts talking about the content. But the process of it, if I just watched how, if I'm just curious about it and don't, and there's no place in me to create the opposite side, which ego's out, whether it's those shoes or the, it's ego's always trying to be, to divide, you know, to not, and so when, and internally, too. So, I got identified what I would call hurt by someone disagreeing with me. And it's someone that I trust a lot. And so there's something that goes on in my system about just wanting everyone to get along. And then And the way we get along is we all have to think the same.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good thing to right? I have that connection that maybe that's not true.
That's well, mm-hmm. and how to practice with it, how to just so the thing that happened, I got really identified and hurt, and then I want to convince the person that I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The projected person, you know, which is ego, right? Because it's I'm projecting. Oh, I caught it. It's that double reverse projection thing. Yeah, you know that.
I need to make them. I feel not okay, so I need to make them think that I'm okay because I can't be not okay. That they're disagreeing with me and be hurt.
And that they, right? Because there's something about the, at least the belief is. That it goes back to there's something wrong with me,
uh-huh.
and I'm found out.
Yeah.
And so if there's a disagreement about something that's important, and I can't get the especially if it has to do with something I'm doing,
uh-huh.
and I can't get the person to see that I'm okay,
uh-huh.
and the only way they can see is to agree, but they don't agree.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect setup for I never get to be okay.
Yeah.
And it is a pretty strong trigger. Like I just watched, it lasted actually for a few days, and the story would run, and I'd record, and I'd listen. Listening helped more than the recording, actually, just listening to old recordings. Something else rather than that story, like just that disrupting that.
To get the attention on something besides the story that was trying to sap all the attention and stir up the suffering.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the variety of ways, you know, as I was sitting, you know, there's so much gratitude for a place of refuge, mm-hmm. you know, just air going in mm-hmm. and out. And, that is the... it's just so comforting.
Well, there's so much in what you said. You know, so there's all three of those workshops, you know, mm-hmm. with your son and with your husband and then with yourself. It sounds like the process that you're seeing is practicing staying with what is so when ego is getting, you know, they're poor, but what about, you know, but you also like this, but that's so stupid, why is it just the color, you know, or even the political stuff, but don't talk about the content, you know, as long as ego is pulling out a story that can separate you from the experience that is right there, whether it's the enthusiasm of your husband, that process, or the enthusiasm of your son, or even your own, whatever you felt like. If it can pull you away from that into the story of some and create a duality, that's where the suffering. And it sounds like what you came to in that experience with yourself of the person of being hurt and really practicing with that is that when the attention was not on the story, just simply just removing the attention through listening, you were able, that helped. And then finding the refuge, as you're talking about here, just come here and just be with what is, as I predict you were doing with the reflective listening with your son. Mm-hmm. When you got to reflectively listen, then that wasn't giving airtime to the story, at least through your attention was on, you had to be on what he was saying in order to reflect it.
And as you're talking about that, where I would go with son and husband is the judgmental side of the duality, where I went with the friend was the one being judged.
Uh-huh.
So I got to experience what it was to be identified with either side.
Oh, that's good to see.
And ego does not, like, I just get so excited and hopeful when I think about listening and being that presence to those people.
Yeah.
Ego does not like that because it's very typical for me to get on the side of a duality and be righteous about something, uh-huh. whether it's, you know, politics or shoes. You know, it's just, but to really be like, I did it yesterday. I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth. It wasn't me. I said, I just love watching you do that research.
Uh-huh.
And ego was like, but it's stupid, and uh-huh. he's crazy, uh-huh. and he's believing something that's wrong.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you're doing doing that right now, ego.
Yeah.
You are doing that right now. If you put me on the side of duality, if I start quoting my ego's political perspective, which it has not informed itself about, I've done no research. So when I get identified, I just lob, you know, quotes from some thing. But, you know, anyway, it's just there to divide.
Exactly.
And there's so, even though I think I might, even though perhaps the content is what I wouldn't do, like whether it's these really expensive shoes or this political, there is connection when I don't believe ego.
Yes. And that's what God, that's what the heart wants, because you describe it as being so excited, delighted by, so wanting to be with. And all ego ever does is rob you of that by creating those pseudo, those imaginary divisions that aren't even real.
And
you caught it.
Well, here's the other thing, being in a family, everybody knows when I get on a side. I lose all credibility. Truly. So ego says, you need to say something, because if he starts saying this stuff and your kids believe it. So sometimes I'll say something and I'm the one they don't believe. Why on earth? I look like an idiot. But if I'm excited and supportive, everybody sees that.
Oh, that is
how I treat another human being.
Now that's worth getting on the recorder right
now. Totally.
Yeah.
It is, because it calls, because ego comes in. You know, it's that wolf in lamb's clothing.
Yeah.
It makes it holy and righteous and just. And Susan, it'll quote, you need to be a prophet here. You need to put down what he's saying.
And everybody sees the wolf.
Totally.
Including you.
Well.
You just did.
I just did.
But you, you saw it.
Yeah. And the way that it's used. But if it's just like, oh, that's awesome. Keep doing your research. You're lit up about this thing. That's just that's radical. That is prophetic, right?
That is radical.
That's the radical piece.
Yeah. And it's moving, and because it's what makes it so radical is that it's moving away from conditioned mind.
Yes, that is the radical thing that ego never wants us to see. But I'm thinking of it, but never wants me to see.
Yeah, much less do.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so helpful. I've got to,
Yes.
Not want me to see that.
Yeah.
So thank
That's
you so
very
much.
Thank you.
Well, I've been looking at a lot, and I don't know where to go with it, so I'll just, you know, I've been looking at 100% participation, I've been looking at anger, I've been looking at unconditional love, and so just...
So 100% participation, anger, and unconditional love.
All right. I've been asking, yesterday, it took this on as a call, and what is 100% participation? You know, it's just one of those things that just kind of rolls around, and maybe in the last, what was last spoken about is that that seems like 100% participation in that excitement over what somebody is doing, you know. So what is it to do something with two hands, so to speak? And
wholly and completely.
Wholly and completely. Because it's just such a karmic, ego pull to just... just be doing one thing and... You're doing one thing and on to the next thing, you know, while the one thing is being done. And just, you know, the amount of suffering that is caused by that. Because it robs the any pleasure of the task at hand, mm-hmm. or the presence, being present to whatever is there.
Yeah. So the suffering, because it can seem not a big deal, right? So you're doing something, but you're thinking about the next thing. Uh-huh. And you know, who's being hurt there, right? But what you're seeing is the sequoia is the one that's getting robbed, because when the thoughts are on that next thing and the hands are doing this one, this uh-huh. other thing, you're not there for you. You get robbed of your whole life.
You get robbed of the whole life.
Yeah.
And it's just so, yeah, it just seems like, you know, it's just how it does, how one gets bamboozled, you know. It just seems like such a small thing.
Yeah.
It's just you know, this is just a little thing.
Yeah.
It's not my whole life. It's just this little, you know. But it is.
It is.
It is.
It's such a big thing to see.
And so I was inspired by someone talking on a call about that always on, that doing, and that always on to the next thing, and using it as a practice, mm-hmm. as a trigger,
mm-hmm.
you know, to practice, and just watching really closely. I mean, you know, all the body sensations and everything. I mean, it's that whole thing about what's going next is just always triggered by, this is not going to get done in the time allotted, you know.
Yeah. So the process is that there's this thought process that comes in of, this isn't going to get done in the time mm-hmm. allotted. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of what's currently triggering the movement out of the attention being on what's
next. Yeah. And then it goes into, well, then we need to, you know, we need to triage here to, you know, to say we're at the accident scene, and we need to, you know.
Yes.
And so, you know, I just stayed in that and just not stayed in the triage scene, but stayed in the practice with it. I'm just like noticing, oh, no, that's not where we want to live, you know. It's not where we want to live in that high stress, you know, what are we going to do here?
Yeah.
And it was great fun,
uh-huh.
you know, just great fun. And I love how life just, I had so many experiences lately, it seems like, of that hand of life right there
mm-hmm.
at one's back, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, here's the support in it. And so yesterday I was really giving this 100% participation, you know. And I went home and for a moment at midday, and I pulled a "What Universe Are You Creating?" card. And the card I pulled is 100% participation. This is so funny. Because I was in the con, what is it? And I was really, at the moment, I was just really practicing it too. And I felt like, oh, okay, this is it. This is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's a
quarter. In case you need it anywhere.
In case you need it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, just continuing that exploration. And I appreciate the conversation about the family and, because today is a day when I speak with my daughter,
mm-hmm.
It's just so cool. I've been listening to a bunch of old recordings, and what's been coming up is old guidance sessions, and the guide's been speaking to me about unconditional love in relationships,
mm-hmm.
specifically with my daughter,
mm-hmm.
And because prior to coming to the monastery, I mean, I had no concept what's unconditional love, what, you know, love. And it was really clear in that relationship, I was just really trying to get a whole lot of needs met.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't want to do that to anybody.
Yeah. You don't want any relationship with another person to be about you getting needs met.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For them having to be a certain way, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a challenge because with both my children. They are not meeting my needs, for sure. Definitely not. You know, I guess, you know, they felt that pull, and they go, well, we'll go, you know.
Family's a wonderful way of doing that.
Oh, my gosh.
It
does not look anything like what I thought. Yeah, things were going to turn out like, you know, and who these people would, you know, because I don't even know who they are, you know, but I still cling to that thing of, well, that, you know, they should be doing it this way and that way, and there should be these people, and they're not.
Yeah, and isn't that so good to get, to see that whole process, that whole ego process, not their life, but the ego process of trying over and over again to get these people to be this way so that I get my needs met, and really seeing it's not working.
It
never has. Yeah. And then the wisdom and the compassion of those recordings coming up and the workshops you've been looking at around participation, that is that wise hand on the back.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good. Yeah. We're seeing this.
Yeah, it's just so funny because there's just been a number of recordings that have come up this week that have been kind of preparing me, it feels like, to do a conversation with her a bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has been, okay, we've got it now. I'm just going to reflect and listen and, you know, we're going to have the relationship of our dreams.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. And then it just, you know, I'll reflect and listen for a little while, and then it's like, oh, I just can't stand it anymore. Ego just slips in there. It's like, I just have to say something. And so just being reminded what I have to say is, you know, what I really love about you.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what I'm just committed to loving you.
Yeah.
Exactly where you are, and there isn't, you know, not anything wrong with any of it.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so relaxing to even hear that.
It is.
To be able to, you know, when that pressure is building, I've just got to say something to go back to. You know, I really love you. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Here's what I love about you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Boy, it is it's one of the most challenging work for me.
Yeah.
Is to just zip the mouth and sit with it.
Yeah.
Just sit still with it.
Yeah.
Just sit still with it, you know. And especially when it's in relationship with another person.
Especially a child.
Especially
a
child.
Wow.
She's not a child, for God's sake.
Daughter.
You know, this person is going to be 50, you know, soon. But to me, she's 5, you know, and I'm still working it out, you know. I know I can get this mother thing down, and, you know, and she's going to turn around and say, Mom, you are the best mom on the whole planet. And I just, you know.
And then you'll have that need.
And I have that need met, and, you know, and I'll go off this whole into the sunset. Well, that's not happening, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even what it sounds like you're saying, not even what Sequoia really wants. What you are practicing with is going to unconditional love. That's what you choose for your life.
Right.
And this whole ego drama, this whole ego plan that's been playing out for over 50 years is not giving you what you want.
Yeah.
And you're finding the support from life to practice having what you want, which is what you just described, going to the unconditional love.
Just going to the unconditional love. Which, you know, reverberates.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just reverberates back. And, And so, so I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to take the guide's advice and have an earbud in one ear, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, explore that of, you know, just letting me know everything's okay.
Yeah.
And I don't need to, I'm here to love.
Yeah. Oh, that is such, you know, that's such a kind of high-level practice, mm-hmm. right? Because it's like two workshops going on.
Exactly.
So there's one, the earbud taking care of Sequoia, uh-huh, saying uh-huh. everything's okay, everything's uh-huh. okay. And then getting simultaneously to practice seeing that
yeah.
everything's okay.
Yeah.
And then a relationship that's, you know, highly charged, obviously, you know, very karmic.
Yeah.
With the
yeah. And it reminded me last night, I had the recorder going while I was sleeping, and you know, one of those places when you kind of wake up half awake and uh-huh. half asleep, and at that moment that happened, I was saying on the recording, I love you. Uh-huh. And all I heard was, I love you, and it was like that whole disoriented, who's here telling me they love me, you know? Uh-huh. And then, oh, it's me. You know, and just receiving it. And again, just I just love how that just happens. At that moment, I wake up just as I love you is coming through the recorder, you know, and it just hits.
Yeah.
It just hits this spot. Like, whoa, you know.
It just hits the spot.
And
you know, that consciousness came to just in that mm-hmm. moment. Mm-hmm. You just woke up mm-hmm. just in that mm-hmm. moment to mm-hmm. hear that.
To hear
and let it came in.
Just to hear, I love you. And so anyway, well, maybe we'll cover anger at the next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jim.
That's fun. I just shed light on a piece of what I think I talked last time we were in group about. I recently visited my dad and my stepmother. And it's so funny because historically the relationship with my stepmother has been very, very challenging. Uh-huh. And she's been in my relationship and my sister's relationship is one thing with my stepmother.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a unit.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's been in our life for, you know, since we were little. But anyway, what's so funny that I just saw was there's a lot of distance from the identification, much, 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 much more than there has been. And I think a big piece of that was I was recently talking to, against all odds, amongst the sort of kids, if you will,
mm-hmm.
yeah, not kids, but we all have a great relationship. So my sisters, my stepbrother, stepsister. And I was talking to my stepsister recently, and she's having a rough time with her mom, my stepmother, and she was just saying, I mean, it's like she's just kind of frozen at this age of da da da. And I'm like, really? I'm just reflecting back. Yeah, I think one of the things is that I've known that for a really long time. So, and she's just discovering it.
Yes.
But what I saw listening to that last conversation was one of the things that I do, I go out of my way when I'm with both of them to just find the things that I appreciate. Because there's a lot. I mean, like, one of the things we used to give her so much grief about is she was green way before green was mm-hmm. But it took, like, crazy, you know, kind of insane things that we all had to do to make sure that, But anyway, so I'll just, and she's great with flowers and, you know, just all that stuff. So I just, oh my gosh, it's beautiful and this, you know, And one of the things I noticed in my workshop, especially when I was with them this time, was sort of a flatness that feels like that gets met with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there isn't, doesn't feel like there's a reciprocation on her part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just watching that, and kind of in that workshop I was talking about before, is this just okay, or is it getting filed? Mm-hmm. And not really knowing, just kind of holding that as it comes on. But mm-hmm. it was so funny because we were out to dinner one night. And they were talking about a friend of theirs whose wife passed away a few years back, and he's remarried. Mm-hmm. And my stepmother was talking about how much she dislikes this woman.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I mean, and she's just so complimentary of everything. And I'm thinking, what does she want? And I thought, well, that's so fascinating, because I would have never... That's not a world, that's not a projection that I live in.
You would have never projected that.
Right? Uh-huh. And with this, from her, what she's seeing is this woman is so complimentary of me.
What does she want
from me?
Yeah.
What's her deal?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, God, isn't that funny? Because what I saw in it was that place where even though it can seem like this is just what I'm doing, there's a subtle way in which I'm doing it for a result.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I'm being really complimentary and kind of noticing what I appreciate, which is great if all that's in it for me is just what's in it for me.
Yeah.
But when there's that subtle, like, oh, why isn't there any response?
Why
isn't she reacting the way I would expect her to react?
That's a flat reaction. Yeah. I wouldn't have expected that.
Maybe she has a completely different relationship with compliments.
So getting to see a couple of things. One is this whole projection that would have never occurred to you, that there's this suspicion around compliments, that there's that whole thing. And then also getting to see, oh, there was something that I was looking for in this, too, that a certain reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I think, the sort of filing. Like, okay, she didn't react, that's okay. She didn't react the way, that's okay.
Uh-huh.
That's okay.
Ooh, yeah. So we get the process of filing it. Okay, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Noticing it, that's okay. Putting it away. And yet it sounds like from the subsequent workshop that in the insights that you had, it may have gotten filed, but there was still some awareness of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's the great gift, I think, of really having surrendered one's life to practice is it's only going to be filed for so long. And I don't even have to worry about it getting filed, because if I'm going to now be in charge of, no, I want to file it, I want to, you know, that's going to just get a difficult, you know.
Wow, that's a good point. Yeah.
A difficult road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because in giving one's whole life to practice, there's a acceptance of it's all really going to be okay. Awareness is doing whatever awareness is doing all the time, even if what's happening on some level is filing. That's okay.
Yeah, right. To the best of my ability, that's not my intention.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think as you're pointing at, if we continue to pay attention, then when something's ready to be looked at again, hey, let's look at that file.
Yeah.
Like someone says something in group,
yeah,
and it opens the file back
and
up.
There it is.
To see something about it.
Wow.
But I just think there's something really just so fundamental in this piece of, I mean, I feel like we've been talking about it all morning and we talk about it all the time, but just those more and more subtle layers of seeing, I'm trying to get it out there,
mm-hmm.
and to let that be fine. That's one of the things, I started to read the responses from the email thoughts. Boy, I'm excited for this email thoughts, because at least for me, a giant portion of suffering lives in communication,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is basically lives in relationship with, quote, someone else, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And I can just relate to every single response. And what I feel excited about is that, I was just reading one this morning where it was something like, this is just completely my interpretation, but it was something like, so the assignment is to just let it be exactly as it is. In other words, don't try to be different. Don't try to do, even you see yourself doing this, quote, unskillful thing, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. Go right on ahead and do that, quote, unskillful thing. And just really watch it and be with it and be in curiosity with it. And I feel like that's, there's something very, very profound, like, okay, so, quote, try to get it from that person. Try to get them.
Yeah.
Well, really watch. What?
Uh-huh.
What exactly am I trying to get? What am I, you know, just not in that figuring it out kind of way, but not messing with it, which is almost certainly going to take me to the other side of duality.
Exactly.
And just have me be the good right person instead of the bad wrong
person. And perpetuate the whole process.
And just, when I'm not looking, slide me back over to the other side of the duality.
Yeah.
So, to the best of my ability, did not move any of the pieces around.
Right.
Just pay really close attention.
Wow, yeah. So, I love that image of not moving any of the pieces around. Don't mess with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just add awareness.
Yeah.
Just watch it. Don't change anything. Don't do that, because that's just ego then trying to mess with it, trying to whatever.
Yeah.
But with adding the awareness, just pay really close attention. Then whatever is there to see, oh, then it can truly unlock what is really happening.
Yeah. So it reminds me of, I keep talking about this because it's so profound for me, but this workshop in around health and food and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and so. To stop, don't eat that, stop eating that as an idea
uh-huh.
is virtually impossible in the long run. Yeah. Virtually impossible. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Keep eating it and watch really closely.
Yes.
It's like addiction.
Yes.
You know, we talk about it with any addiction. Watch really closely. Because, of course, what's going to happen is, well, I don't, if that thing that I'm eating is making me feel terrible, I'm not going to want to do it anymore. Which is the same thing of everything.
Exactly.
If trying to get my needs met from you, if I really watch closely and see what's happening that and realize it's making me miserable,
yes.
I'm going to choose not to do it. And not because it's the wrong thing and yeah. I'm a student and I know it comes from inside me.
Yeah.
And it really is about, you know, turning to the divine.
Being the right person, the right Zen student,
exactly.
I should do that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come from that place at all. It comes from,
wow.
I don't want to let that go.
Gosh, this other thing is available, and I really want that.
It's the phrase that you use in Thursday night. It's when the yes, how the yes becomes bigger than the no.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We're not giving it up or to be the right person or to stop feeling crummy or to stop doing this unskillful thing or any of those quote good reasons.
Yeah.
We're going to find the courage really to keep doing it and just add the awareness so that the yes can then be there for us.
Yeah, and you know, one last piece of that reminded me of when you were saying that is, again, the food analogy is so good that I think what can happen is, so I find a trigger for what makes me feel yucky. Oh, avoid that trigger like the plague. Ooh, and then this one's a little bit of a trigger too. I'm going to avoid that. And then that's a little bit of a trigger. I'm going to avoid. And that's not it either.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's that same, like, now I'm in control.
Yeah.
And instead, what reminded me of it is what you said, it's not about not feeling crummy.
Yeah.
So that's one of the hardest places, and I have great compassion for myself and everyone else, because it's like, to be out from under a piece of suffering or feeling physically terrible, it's no wonder we want to do anything we can. Please don't make me go back there. But it's not the same as staying in the inquiry, right? Because, I mean, if you take the food analogy, ultimately, there's something going on that the body's getting triggered by that. So yes, not eating that thing in the short term makes total sense, but not stopping there.
Yes.
What's going on that would be happening?
Yeah.
And that feels like the same thing, the same opportunity we have spiritually.
Yes.
You know, so I'm not going to be around that person. Okay. You know, that might be a good short-term solution while I'm, you know, whatever. But to really use it as a kind of, what's the word? Motivation.
Yeah.
To keep going.
Yeah. So the phrase that keeps dropping in as you're talking is it's really not what, it's how.
Yeah.
Because there's the same action, okay, I'm not going to eat that food. It can be coming from I'm really letting that go and in a big yes kind of way. No, not charged or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can be in that control. Nope, not doing that. Nope, okay.
Not that either. Nope. I'll bring my own seaweed when I come to your house.
And you can see it, and what you're pointing at is the practice and the inquiry process of feeling the differences in those processes.
Exactly.
Where does it seem to slip into control?
Mm-hmm.
Where does it really? Okay. It's like the tennis ball thing. Okay, ooh, that one. Okay, that one's hitting it just
that
right.
Way
that
was way out of the
belt. and that's the process of the spirit of inquiry.
This morning's discussion is, you know, launched about 6 or 7 rockets.
Uh-huh.
I can't contain myself. I'm really enjoying that notion of filing things away.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, you don't have to be in practice too long or in any sort of practice too long before you get it that stuffing things is not a good example. Good idea. And so that takes care of some really big stuff. But I love the notion that then there's this other stuff we file.
Uh-huh.
Because filing is such a civilized
thing.
It's office work. And it's kind of quiet, and you can go out in the corner and just do that.
Uh-huh.
But,
And I don't think I would have seen that if we hadn't used that word, but it really is true that there's like this, this whole other level of just quietly shuffling emotional papers.
That's a good point. We all know that stuffing is not a good
thing. Right. But I don't stuff it anymore. I don't stuff it anymore.
But I do file occasionally.
But I think, I mean, the point is, I don't think I would get that I file.
Exactly. It shines a lot.
There is an invitation to do that. So I really like that notion. And you know, what's interesting is it's an invitation to notice that there is a process of filing.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I am quite sure of is that there's a whole lot of stuff filed that I don't even know is filed, because I haven't been aware that there's this process called filing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's an invitation to, you know, to uncover that content, but through noticing this process that is so much more subtle. So that is very fun.
Oh, yeah. That is very fun. But yeah, and it is. It's, I mean, it just points back to the whole power of Sangha, and what Susan started us out with was having this refuge, because it just, a word will change, and then it'll shine a light on a whole new process that we get to now explore.
That's right.
Yeah.
So another thing that I was interested in was just the whole discussion about disagreeing with people you love.
Mm-hmm.
And what came up, a couple things came up for me. One was, one was that how important it is that other people don't have to agree with me for me to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And how important it is that I don't have to agree with them for me to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a tendency actually to go off on private rants about how wrong they are, but to sort of give in the moment, you know, just to sort of kind of what was being referred to was say what needs to be said in the moment to kind of smooth the waters,
uh-huh.
which is sort of a betrayal of this person.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so when it was said earlier, what I have to remember is just simply, I love you, to remember to say that to this person.
Yes.
in the midst of those kinds of things. Because when I heard those words, I was just kind of like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. So if I'm tracking what you're saying, that what you could see was there was this belief that held this process in place of either I have to agree with them or they have to agree with me for that love to, you know, to truly be okay. And how that might play out is there would be this inner rant about, you know, how wrong they are or whatever, but outwardly we won't acknowledge that. Outwardly I'll just say whatever needs to be said to sort of calm the water.
So I'm not wrong.
Yeah, and which still means somebody's wrong.
Right.
And so what you're seeing is that no, that doesn't need to happen. Just in the I love you to this person,
right,
as well as to the external person, you know. That's what genuinely calms the water.
It does, and it just kind of puts a lot of things to rest.
That
was actually what arose for me as we were talking, as I was listening to this. A time somewhat early on in my relationship with my partner where it was just awful. A thing happened that went on for a couple of years and it was awful. And if ever there was a time I would have walked, and I thought about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one morning we were making the bed together and I looked at her, and what arose in me was, this is my life partner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting because it was true. It felt true, and it was like everything kind of fell away.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was getting to maybe in a sense that larger yes or some larger thing that was sort of holding all the little wrangly, really nasty wrangly stuff that was going on, and it felt like the same thing, that get back to, oh, I love this person, I love this person, and it just settles a lot of the scrubby stuff that comes up.
It's sort of that the you didn't use this word, but sort of the grace and the bigger perspective. That's the equivalent of the I love you. And in this case it dropped in as, this is my life partner. So all that other snarly
still going on,
it can be there,
but
that's a really good point. It can still go on, but it doesn't matter, because in a sense, because we are not living there, we're living here in the this is my life partner.
At least it sustains us long enough to get through the gnarly stuff. I mean, seriously, you know, it sustains you long enough to get through the gnarly stuff.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that that arose, when someone was talking about how life just presents these things, mm-hmm. it's so much fun. So I wrote into the class, the email class, and the response I got was, this is a great opportunity for small steps. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at the week ahead in terms mm-hmm. of the issue that I was raising, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are each big opportunities for those small steps.
Oh,
so
wow.
They're all a series of events in which I'm participating, and I can practice exactly what was pointed to. And I thought,
perfect.
I know life does that kind
of thing. And you had the guidance from the email class to recognize
it. Well, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Wow. That's right. I have the assignment. Okay. Says life. You have the assignment? Okay, here. Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
small step.
Yeah. So it is amazing how perfect it is.
Yes. Yeah, and to just to receive the experience of being so exquisitely guided and mm-hmm. supported.
Mm-hmm. And each of them really is a small step. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal thing.
It feels very doable, in other words, right?
Yeah.
Like what you can do, like this is a small step, I can take.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Cameron.
Yeah, it's come to my attention since we've been talking about this fire, that one way that can happen for me, and you know, maybe it's just a generic thing, that when something's going on, like there's some issue or something that has something in the spotlight, something that I recognize is a karmic repetitive something that comes up and, you know, creates issues. Frequently, when I'll be in it and I'll be working with it and I'll be doing different things to work with it, and then there'll be some sort of insight that really kind of opens it up, opens my heart to it,
uh-huh.
gives me what feels like sort of a greater understanding of the issue or the aspect of myself that suffers in it or something like that. And so there's a shift in the relationship to it, to a more positive place.
Uh-huh.
And then it's kind of like it gets filed.
What's the it in that?
The issue.
Oh, I see.
There's an insight.
Uh-huh.
There's a feeling better in relationship to it. It's the feeling
uh-huh.
aspect of it that has changed. And, you know, there's kind of this more open, oh, yeah, okay, I see how that works. And I, you know, I really love this, you know, this part of me that does that, and blah, blah, blah. And then it just kind of, you know, quietly gets... But I'm wondering if that's what's happening. It's getting filed. It hasn't actually been embraced
uh-huh.
or something.
So the opening will happen around the issue. There'll be some insight,
uh-huh.
and then it just quietly over here gets filed. And now you're wondering is that what happens, that it gets filed and sort of taken uh-huh. out of my realm of awareness, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, and the thing that makes it that brought up the consideration is because the result of that insight was to make me feel less tension and less angst about whatever it is. I feel better.
Uh-huh.
And so is that really a solution that happens, or just I feel better and so now I'm not going to pay attention to
uh-huh.
that?
Sort of like a closing of the inquiry because, well, problem must be solved. I feel better now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And not really even considering that, you
uh-huh.
know. It's just the feeling that was making it
yeah.
be requirement
yeah.
to deal with it is no longer there.
It's
no longer there. You know.
Yeah, so the angst that brought it to my attention, or the feeling
yeah.
or the, that brought it sort of under the spotlight, it's been dissolved. I feel better. And so there it goes.
So I thought that was really interesting, because I thought that terminology at first when we started talking about it the other night, I was kind of like, smiling, what do they mean exactly? And then I started to get how it's kind of just putting something away.
Yeah.
Maybe a little label on it, so.
Maybe if I need it.
So I thought that was interesting, the feeling better part.
That's a subtle catch, isn't it? That, maybe something's going on with that process that I haven't seen before.
Yeah, because I keep having, there are certain things that keep triggering karma come up. And real old stuff, it seems like the aspect that's triggered is really young.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes up and I can see, it's her again. And obviously, if she keeps coming up, she's not really ever been completely embraced in a way that's healing with that original whatever trauma. And so that's kind of how I saw this, because I was working on one of those recently and was helped with some guidance to see another layer of what might be going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really lovely, and there was like this open-hearted thing, and then it was just kind of like, have I done the same thing as always? Because I always have some kind of insight about this period of my life and the results of it, and then I go on and realize, gosh, I'm forgetting her still.
So there's a process that you're looking at of this young part seemingly to come up and must need something, and then you'll have an insight about it, and it'll feel you'll feel this love or expansiveness or whatever, and then it sort of goes away or gets perhaps filed or whatever, and then you wonder, am I just forgetting about her?
Yeah, there was a specific thing that happened at a specific age that she was very young, and I don't actually remember. I've learned about what happened from stories from the family, but I can sort of project into the karma that I live in that was part of how all that was part of the karma that's developed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so she's real little. Yeah, so. In having this insight about maybe I filed it, something dropped in for me to engage with that really little part. And I went out yesterday to the library and I checked out a bunch of children's books.
Uh-huh.
And I think the feeling that she had was just abandonment at a really young age.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't anything bad. It was something that happened that required the parents to be attending in a different direction than the one kid they had originally. So so I've decided I'm going to read her a story before we go to sleep every night.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I
did the first one last night.
So to really spend some time with this young part, that this abandoned feeling, and to make it a story time, children, for her every night.
Yeah, because as I look back, I don't remember being read stories or anything, and I may have been, because I have forgotten a lot of my life, so. I don't know that that's true, but because I don't remember it, I just seem like it might be a nice way to, sort of make a connection with that
Yeah, because whether or not she got stories read as a child or not, it's kind of beside the point. Is what you're getting to do is in the process is I'm wanting to really be present to this person.
Yeah, and just do something that would include her doing something together to make her, hopefully, to allow her to feel some attention and love and caring. And
did, was that be her experience?
Well, I think so. I think, yes, I think it's going to take a little time to get the relationship going, you know. I mean, I've been ignoring her for many, many years, so, And there's all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of ramifications of her as she's grown older, you know. So when she's young, she's just really hurt. But then when she's three, she's biting the kids in the play yard. And, you know, so from being hurt to being angry to being all these different things. So, but I'm wanting to relate with her at the hurt, one who got felt left out and abandoned, kind of. It's just, I've never had anything quite so, you know, it just dropped in as a real practical thing that I might try. And I got a big armful of books and we're going to do that.
Story time.
Yeah, kind of bring her right out of the file and into a daily experience.
Yeah, into a daily experience of love.
Yes.
Of love and presence.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was great. So I have decided to make this year the year of love. And I don't know what that means quite yet. It'll, I guess, unfold. Opportunities will be presented. I think yesterday a response in an email class was posted where the person was talking about trying to be the right person. And Sherry's response was something, and she said, for example, trying to be the right person is just not something that I think about. It's just not an issue for me, and never has been. What if it weren't for you either? And I just, I immediately copied it, pasted it, and glued it in a full page, and my whole kitchen is a plastered full page things. While we can do our classes. Put it in the most prominent spot.
Oh, wow.
And it's, my guess is that being, not having been the right person, having it as an issue really fall away. I'm not crying yet. It's just, just what I do anymore. it's all got to be predicated on love.
Yeah.
You know, it was someone who was talking earlier about saying to her daughter, here are the things I love about you.
Yeah.
Well, I got to be my own mother.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
My father. I think that I think more about this is probably true a lot of people. But I didn't get that growing up. I know my parents, I can only guess, didn't get it either. Yeah. Because they didn't get it.
Yeah.
And now I have the opportunity.
Wow, that is so big, that now you have the opportunity, we all do, and to declare this is the year of love. There's the wide open door, the wide, bold invitation, and then to even get that email class as a insight stimulator, wow. That would have been the obstacle, trying to be the right person. If that weren't there, welcome to your love. I love this about you, and I love this about you. Oh, but you know, this is another thing I love about you, June. And, you know, and just lavish that on self.
I'll just make a few steps down as I can.
Oh my goodness. Yes, how can it not be?
Because I can feel something when I make it really secret.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And we know who that is or what that is.
So you're gonna get to in the hearing you'll look pale.
And so there, that can be the trigger. Oh, and another thing I love about you. And then you're going to, oh yeah, and here's another thing I love about you.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, it's one of the things I was looking at in here is it's got to start with out of conversation, into the moment, into with the breath, and the senses, two-handed, pleasure, and
Yep. And as you said, I just want to underline that again. We have that opportunity. Getting that is huge.